used to going past 12.
So. Y'all heard that, right?
Yeah.
I do have a thought on my mind this morning, but before I get there, I want to make two little quick points. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to go over to John chapter 11. I'm just one of those people that whenever a brother stirs my mind up on a subject, I got to get it out of the way so I can progress onto what's on my mind.
Go ahead.
Whenever Brother Paul was talking about how Jesus is that faithful high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Yes, sir.
Did I say John 11 yet?
Yes.
Okay. Go to John 11. Let's go to the 32nd verse. When Brother Paul was talking about Jesus Christ being the faithful high priest, meaning he's our representative.
Amen.
That's what it means. You know, we say words sometimes, and, you know, whenever I first started coming to the church, I remember the pastor was preaching one day, and he said, well, over in Numbers 14, y'all know what happened in Numbers 14. And I'm like, I don't. I just started reading the Bible last week, you know. Maybe y'all do. But I tell you what, while everybody else was eating lunch, guess what I was finding out? What happened in Numbers 14? It wasn't good, by the way. But but it's important for us to realize we're not all on the same level.
Right. Amen.
And Jesus being a faithful high priest, a priest represents us to God. Right?
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you, the priest we have, or the priest that some people have today, I'm not picking on religions or other orders, but brothers and sisters, they don't understand that everything in that Old Testament law service pointed to Jesus.
Amen.
That candlestick, Jesus is our candlestick.
Amen.
That washing, Jesus is our washing. Right? And that priest, Jesus is our priest. I don't want to go to that one who has infirmities, Brother Paul.
Right.
I want to go to that one who doesn't have infirmities.
Amen.
And it's important for us to realize that Jesus can fill us. I'm going to tell you, because we don't... See, that's why people still... And y'all know what religion I'm talking about. But that's why people still burn incense and things of that nature. I get it. It's something that's tangible. You can see it. You can feel it, right?
Yeah.
That's the reason they want to go talk to the high priest, or their priest in that religion, is because they can see him and they can feel him. But I'm going to tell you, the priest that we come and talk to is by faith.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, it hurts us sometimes because we can't see him. But I'm going to tell you, we can feel him. And he can feel us. And an example I want to give you here is over in the 32nd chapter of John 11, after Lazarus had died. And we know that the Lord resurrects him on the fourth day there after he stinketh to show everybody that the Lord had the power there. But what I want to look at is the fact that Mary starts weeping. Mary starts crying. And all the Jews, that's Lazarus' sister, all the Jews are crying with Mary. And it says that when Jesus seen that, he wept. Mm-hmm. You know what that means? He felt what they felt.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, Jesus feels what we feel. Y'all remember over there, and I'm going to make another point on John 11 in just a second, but I'm going to jump over here. Over in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, it talks about a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, right? Do y'all have any issues?
Yeah.
Because if you take that verse out of context and you split it in half, it says there was a woman that had an issue. Is there any women with some issues this morning?
Amen.
Yeah.
Are there any brothers with some issues this morning?
Right.
And you know what it says about her? It says, and when she had heard of Jesus. Woo! Right?
Right.
What have you heard about Jesus? I heard he's a friend of sinners.
Yeah.
Ain't that somebody you want to go talk to?
Amen.
I heard he can feel my pain. You know what else I heard about Jesus? That whenever I feel like I can't do it, see, that's what it means over in Matthew 11, whenever it says, I can't even quote it today. I'm sorry, brother. But come unto me, all you that, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy, heavy burden.
Amen.
What does it mean to labor? It means to work. Do you ever feel like you're just working and working and working and you're not getting anywhere?
Right.
You know what it means to be heavy laden?
Yeah.
It means to be burdened. I tell you, I used to weigh 550 pounds. I'm not as burdened as I used to be, okay? What that means is to be heavy laden burden. It means to be weighed down.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever felt like if you're 120 pounds, but I'm not talking about natural, but have you, even though you may be fit as a fiddle, you just feel like you can't stand upright because the world is on your shoulders.
Right.
You ever feel like that? You know what the Lord says? You come to me.
Yeah.
And I'll give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to understand, we have a faithful high priest. When that sister, whenever she heard of it, see, all this will come together, all right? Just bear with me. Whenever that sister that had the issue, whenever she heard about Jesus and heard that he was a healer, she went to him, right? And then she touched him and she was healed. But what I want you to understand, going back to that being touched with the feelings of our infirmities, there was other folks touching Jesus right there who weren't healed.
Right.
And whenever Jesus was walking, there was a bunch of people thronging him and throwing themselves on him. And then this sister came and touched the Lord by faith. And whenever that happened, her issue of blood was dried up. And Jesus stopped. And he said, somebody touch me.
Amen.
And Peter's like, I thought this was the Lord. You don't realize there's 7,200 people touching him right now? But what the Lord meant was, somebody touched me by faith.
Yeah.
Had you prayed for your pastor this week?
Mm.
Had you complained this week? Let me ask you that.
Come on.
You don't have to show me, but I have. Did you complain? Did you pray about that complaint before you complained about it? I'm going to tell you, there's a thing called unbelief, and it doesn't mean don't believe in Jesus. It means not believing in the promises of God.
Amen. Right.
God said he'll take your burden away. God said my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God said you yoke up with me and I'll make your life a little easier. And I'm not talking about Joel Osteen's doctrine where you're going to get the big house on the hill. I'm going to tell you, there's something we need a lot far more than a big house on a hill. There's something I need a lot far more than a refrigerator full of groceries. I'm going to tell you, it's called that inner peace.
Amen.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, it's called that inner healing. But what I want you to understand is, there's times that I go to the Lord and pray, and I'm not really praying. I'm not touching him, Brother Paul.
Yeah.
I'm like all those other people that are just like, right? But this sister, she said within her heart, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I don't even have to touch him. I mean, she understood that there was power there, and she came with faith. I'm going to tell you, how many times do you go to the Lord, and you got something on you, and you just give it to the Lord, and you don't even give it to the Lord? You just go through the motions. Oh, Lord, please be with my kids. Lord, please bless Brother Paul today. Lord, please bless us to see thy spirit, dear Lord. Lord, please bless us to be blessed in the song service. Now, aren't these all things that we need to pray for? Amen, right?
Yeah.
But does it look like I was feeling God whenever I said that? I'm going to tell you, sometimes it takes me more minutes to get into prayer than it actually does to say the prayer.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, sometimes I got to lay down before my bed, and I got to get to where I can feel God. I got to get to where I can get on that worship level with God. I got to get like that sister where I am really touching him, not with my hand, but with my heart.
Right.
Everybody else was touching with their hands, but she touched him with her heart. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you feel burdened, if you feel weighed down, if you feel like you need help, you go to God and you say, God, help me.
Amen.
Right. I'm going to tell you, if you need direction in life and you don't know which way to go, say, God, give me direction.
Amen.
And I'm not saying like, God, you do it. But I'm going to say as boldly as he says with that hope, right?
Yeah, right.
An earnest expectation.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, hope is just not here for the hereafter. I have an earnest expectation that what Jesus promised me here, he'll do.
Amen.
It's nothing wrong with believing that whenever you come unto him, you're going to find rest.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it says the Holy Ghost is the comforter. Who really prayed for the Holy Ghost this morning? Mm. Who really begged during this week that the Lord would give the minister something to bring, and that the Lord would attend to it with His Spirit, and that it would feed every child of God in this place
right. This
morning. I want to tell you, I want every child of God to know, especially if you're named Old Baptist because you've been exposed to it, but I want every child of God to know that this is a place to come and find rest.
Amen.
I want every child of God to know that if you're hungry, if you're empty, that this is the place to come and find food to be filled. I want every child of God to know that the Comforter is called the Holy Ghost over in John 14 and 26, not Popeye's chicken. Right. You know why I weighed 550 pounds at one time? It's because whenever I got sad, guess who I went to? Popeye's. Oh, me and Ron McDonald was best friends, Brother Paul. I pull up there, I get four McRibs. You know, I get three triple cheeseburgers, four fries, and you may think I'm embellishing this. This is the truth. And then I would order four Diet Cokes so they wouldn't think it was just me eating it. I had shame. I realized I was doing something that I shouldn't do. And you know what? That first initial bite, I had this physical comfort, this physical euphoria I was looking for. But you know what? After I finished all that, I felt miserable. I felt miserable here, and I felt miserable here, and I felt to be worse sinner than I did before I ate it. What I'm trying to tell you, I was seeking after natural comfort to give me my spiritual comfort.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, if you feel empty, why do you think there are drug addicts? Because they're trying to be numbed, and they're trying to get spiritual healing in a natural way.
Right.
Why do you think people are addicted to fornication? Because they're trying to get spiritual healing in a physical way. I want us to understand that the Holy Ghost is the Comforter. I want you to get that. Whenever you feel empty and you want to go to a resource that ain't the Lord, you know, people who can't drink milk, they take calcium for a supplement, right? So many of us today are supplementing the Holy Ghost because He's the Comforter. If you get anything out of this morning, drugs ain't the comforter, alcohol ain't the comforter, your wife's not your comforter.
Amen.
Your kids aren't your comforter.
Amen.
Jesus, the Holy Ghost, is your comforter.
Amen. Right.
If you need comfort, go to Him.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, get down. Next time you're about to go somewhere else to get soothed in the soul, here's a novel idea. Pray about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, Nehemiah found out that the temple was burned. It doesn't say he went running around complaining about it. You know what it says? He prayed to God.
Mm.
And then whenever the Lord gave him an utterance before the king said he was sad. And the king asked Nehemiah, he said, "What's wrong with you?" And Nehemiah says, My hometown's burned. How can I not be sad?" And the king said, "What would you have me to do?" And Nehemiah said, "I prayed." Do we do that in our life? "Lord, something's bothering me.
Yeah.
You're the Comforter. I'm coming to you. I'm going to pray." Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe that He's the Comforter, you're not going to pray to Him.
Right.
I want you to believe. I want every child of God. I had another thing to preach on this morning. We ain't going there, okay? I want every child of God. Man, I wish it was good too, Brother Paul. But I believe in following the Spirit. But I want every child of God, over in Psalms 48, when it talks about Mount Zion, which Hebrews 12 defines for us that Mount Zion is the church.
Yeah.
Over in Psalms 48, when it talks about the church of God, it says that it is the joy of the whole earth. That's pretty simple, right? Who likes joy?
Yeah.
Who wants some extra joy in their life?
Mm-hmm.
Come to church.
Amen.
It says it's beautiful for situation.
Yeah.
You know what that means? You're poor, it's beautiful. You're hungry, it's beautiful. You're rich, it's beautiful. You're full,
yes.
It's beautiful. You're black, it's beautiful. You're white, it's beautiful. You're from Asia, you're beautiful. Beautiful for whatever situation you have. But I'm going to tell you, so many times, whenever I come to church and you come to church, I just indict me, okay? Because I know me better. But so many times when we come to church, we're like all those other people touching Jesus. We're just like, "Oh, We're doing what everybody said we should do, right? But how many times do we come to church? How many times do we come here saying, I need to be filled? How many times do we come here saying, Lord, we know that if Brother Paul is able to preach, it's totally of you, but please make it manifest. Lord, please bless who's ever preaching this morning to preach the best sermon I have ever heard in my entire life. Because, Lord, that's what I need. I need to be filled. I need to be carried. And, Lord, I need you. I want you to understand that this is the place where your joy is. This is the place where your comfort is.
That's right.
And I want you to understand this is the place where your friends should be.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, whenever I turned my back on the world, I gave up every friend I ever had. Every friend. Because you know what? I wanted to... The Lord touched my heart. I had to quit doing A, B, C, D, E, and F. And as long as I was around them, they dragged me back down to all of them. So I had to turn my back on all of them. And I'm going to tell you, I had nobody. And then my daddy, which hated the Lord, found out that I had a call to preach. And he hated me then. He kicked against me, right? I'm going to tell you, the church of God has saved my life. Because the Bible says this over in Matthew 19. It says, there's no man that's forsaken friends, family, husband, wife, whatever, here in this life, that will not receive a hundredfold.
Right.
Every friend I ever gave up, Brother Paul knows how it is. Yeah. Sister Sonia knows how it is. I got friends all across this country named Primitive Baptists. I'm going to tell you, there's people, if I called them and I said, hey, I'm coming through town, they'll say, hey, brother, the key's under the doormat.
Yep.
I've had that, and it's wonderful. And they may have to go to work, they'll wake up and cook you breakfast because they love you. It's a brotherhood that people don't understand.
Right.
I tell you, I try to tell people about the joy of the Lord, but it's like that song we sing. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, those times whenever my dad hated my guts because I preached the God that he didn't believe in, I'm going to tell you what, I had dads all over this country. I had the James Isaacs and the Jerry Williams and the and I just go on and on. All these dear brethren, the Brother Clifford Goins, the Brother Mike Montgomery's. I mean, they were just so good to me. I'm going to tell you, I was in the church for 18 years, been single the whole time, and my sisters back home in Tippecanoe, they hate it when I say this. I got wives all over the country. They're like, brother, they ain't even supposed to say that. We're just sisters. I'm like, no, I don't listen to my sister. I listen to y'all. You know? Like, they'll say, Brother Danny, you know those brown shoes don't match that black pants. Well, now I do. I didn't. But, you know, they watch out for me and they care for me and they keep me. You know? But my whole point is this. There's so many aspects of the church that if you just come expecting God to just give it to you when you're not giving anything in return,
come on now,
brothers and sisters, you're not going to experience.
That's it.
I'm going to tell you, if you're just waiting for somebody to do something for you and you're not doing something for somebody else, you're not going to experience it. I had somebody tell me one time, they said, well, brother so-and-so never invited me over to their house to eat. I said, when's the last time you invited them? They said, oh. Come on, man. It's so easy to point a finger at you.
That's right.
But how about, let's say, what am I doing? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And how do you know that unless you read the Word of God?
Right. Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, I ain't like other religions. I'll tell you to read that book. And if you got questions, you come and ask your pastor. And I know Brother Paul will study and pray and try to give you the right answer. Mm. Brother says, this is the Word of God.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, I've seen sisters sometimes get a text from their husband and they dissect every little... Well, what did he mean by that? Let me tell you, I wish we would spend half the time in the Word of God as we did in the world.
Right. Amen.
Sometimes the reason we don't have any comfort, we don't have any joy, because we're not seeking that of the Lord.
Right.
I want you to understand that the Lord can be touched. And if you got something going on in your life, if you got an issue... Read Mark 5 and 25. I'll guarantee you'll never read it the same. There was a sister with an issue. If you got an issue, but you know what? You're like her. You've heard about Jesus. What you've heard about him? He gives you rest, does he not?
Yeah.
Let me give you this example of rest. I'm about to wrap it up. If that clock's right, I did some speed preaching this morning. Yeah. But folks at home, they get jealous because they hear Brother Danny going out of town preaching 23-minute sermons. They don't even know what that is, Brother Paul.
They don't even know.
But I was watching this religious channel one time, and there was this guy that used to play guitar for a very famous rock group. And the Lord touched him and changed his life. And they were asking him his, and he has tattoos all over him, and long hair and dreads and all that stuff. And he just, he don't look like the first word out of his mouth is going to be Jesus. Let's just put it like that. But anyway, so they're interviewing him. They're asking him about his experience, what caused him to give up. Because whenever he left the rock group, all he had to do was sign a contract that month. And he had got a $6 million bonus. But because he realized that he couldn't do that no more, he walked away from $6 million. Anyway, I think it was six. It was at least four. I don't want to embellish. I mean, you know. It could be $500,000 and it'd be a lot to me. And all of it. But my whole point is this. They were asking his. They were asking him to relate his story. And I love this because so many people misapply that text in Matthew 11. And this brother got it right. He said he had a child out of wedlock. And he was raising his daughter by himself because his wife was infested with drugs. And she was in and out of rehab. And she was not a good mother. And so, I mean, you know how it is. Like, if the father's able to get custody, that's probably not a good situation that the dad, that the mother was in. And so he's raising this daughter by himself, and he's a drug addict. He said, you know, he said, I thought drugs is where I got my healing from, and I was a rock star. I got drugs. I had the best drugs. And he said, and I'm sitting there at my computer one day, and I'm like, my life's a mess. What am I going to do? And he said, and I got an email from my insurance agent, of all people. His car insurance agent, or house, or whatever. And the email said this, hey, Brian, I know we've never talked about this before, and don't delete this message, but there's but he quoted Matthew 11, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he said, the Lord really put it on my heart to send this to you. And whenever he read that, and he says, and I will give you rest. You know what that brother said? I'm going to call him a brother. He said this. He said, man, rest would be really good right now. Hmm. If you're in a situation in your life where you feel like you can sleep 14 hours and still feel wore out because that's not the rest you're looking for. If you're in a situation in your life where you can, where you understand what Brian meant whenever he said, oh, rest would be really good right now. You come unto the Lord. Well, what does that mean? You pray to Him. You read your Bible, and you do His Word. And I want to tell you, He'll give you rest.
Amen.
I love you and God bless.
Amen.
Sorry for not preaching myself.